Okay, let's continue with part two of the entity of the wonderful and difficult to understand law. There are many passages of proof asserting that the wonderful and difficult to understand principle of the true aspect of reality possesses two aspects, the defiled and the pure. But none can surpass the one in the Flower Garland Sutra, the Avatamsaka Sutra, or the Kigan Sutra, that says, quote, "The mind, the Buddha, and all living beings, these three things are without distinction." Or the passage in the Lotus Sutra that describes the true aspect of all phenomena, which we've already read his Gosho on. I want that to sink in, because there's a lot of confusion in schools of Buddhism that says the Lotus Sutra is a completely divergent sutra amongst all the others. Yes, it is true that until we get to the Lotus Sutra, we don't get the essential point of Shakyamuni's teachings. We don't get the ultimate method that liberates anyone, all beings, no matter what their status, their life condition, to awaken to their enlightenment, their Buddha-ness, their Buddha nature. That this is somehow different from everything else that was taught. And of course with Nichiren, as we did with Tendai in a different time period, in different people's capacities, the Lotus Sutra was the culminating teaching, is the culminating teaching, always has been. But it's not like Shakyamuni lied in previous teachings, or wasn't talking about the same thing in previous teachings. He was just teaching to the ability of the people of his time. And the reason I say that is because the Avatamsaka Sutra, the Flower Garland, the Kigan, whatever you call it, was his first teaching, and he only taught it for a couple of weeks. Because people weren't ready. They couldn't get it. But this sentence from the Avatamsaka Sutra completely tells you that he's been determined to get people to understand this from the very get-go. The mind, the Buddha, and all living beings, these three things are without distinction. So where is your Buddha, your Buddha-ness, your Buddha mind, your Buddhahood, your Buddha wisdom? It's in your mind. The mind, the Buddha, and all living things, and all living things. This is what we're talking about now in this Gosho. That all of it, you and your environment, your mind, Buddha, and everything you experience, they're all the same thing. Yes, you could say, and I'll say it, your Buddha can experience pain. But in Buddhist terms, what would we call that? We would call that ignorance. Because that is not your Buddha mind. That is your Buddha mind in the world of hell, hunger, animality, what have you. That is not your fully realized Buddha, because your fully realized Buddha would not see these things as obstacles, would not see these things as suffering, would simply see them as part of tendencies and conditions around your central Buddha-ness. it would just not suffer. That doesn't mean it's blind. That just means it understands. What is it? The entity, the Buddha-ness, your mind, and everything. It's all the same. It's all, should I say one? The great teacher Nan Hue says, quote, "The entity of the mind is endowed with two aspects, the defiled and the pure. However, it does not have two different forms, but is single in nature and without distinction." And the example of the mirror that he gives truly presents a thorough explanation of the subject. For a more detailed understanding, one may also refer to his interpretations in the Mahayana method of concentration and insight. Another good explanation is given in the sixth volume of Miao Lo's annotations on the profound meaning of the Lotus Sutra, end quote. In the passage that reads, quote, "While the 3,000 realms remain latent in ordinary beings, they are all designated by the term ignorance. But when the 3,000 realms are manifest themselves as the result of Buddhahood, then they are all designated by the term eternal happiness. However, because the 3,000 realms themselves remain unchanged, ignorance is essentially one with enlightenment. Since the 3,000 realms all remain constant, they possess both entity and function. This commentary makes the matter perfectly clear." You see, we're just stating the same thing over and over again, aren't we? Question. If all living beings are entities of Myoho Renge Kyo, then are ordinary people like ourselves, who are ignorant and deluded, unenlightened and dull-witted, also entities of the wonderful and difficult to understand law? You can answer that now, right? Yeah. Answer. Though there are a great many people in the world today, they all fall into two categories. Those who believe in the provisional teachings and those who believe in the true teaching. Those who believe in the provisional and expedient teachings such as the Nembutsu cannot be called entities of Myoho Renge Kyo. Why does he say that? Because they actively deter their minds from Buddhahood. They actively point their minds to something provisional. You can't be enlightened and pursue something other than enlightenment. You have the potential. Everything everyone does. But if you actively pursue something other than that, then you can't possibly manifest it. That's what he's saying. But those who believe in the Lotus Sutra, which is the true teaching, are entities of Myoho Renge Kyo. Wonderful and difficult to understand entities of the true aspect of reality. The Nirvana Sutra says, quote, "Among all living beings, those who believe in the Mahayana are called the Mahayana people," end quote. The great teacher Nan Hue, in his Four Peaceful Practices, writes, quote, "The Great Diligence Sutra says ordinary beings and the thus come one share a single Dharma body. Being pure and wonderful and difficult to understand beyond comparison, it is called Myoho Renge Kyo." He also says, "Those who practice the Lotus Sutra are pursuing through this single act of devotion the mind that is endowed with all manner of fortunate results. These are present simultaneously and are not required gradually acquired gradually over a long period of time." It's already there. "This is like the blossom of the lotus. that when it opens, already possesses a large number of seeds. Hence, such persons are called the people of the one vehicle. He also says, the people of the two vehicles, particularly the voice hearers, and the bodhisattvas of inferior capacity, choose to follow the way of expedient means, practicing methods that assure gradual progress over a long period of time. But the bodhisattvas of superior capacity honestly discard expedient means and do not carry out the practice of gradual progress. If they are able to complete the meditation based on the Lotus Sutra, then they will thereby possess all manner of fortunate results. Persons such as these are called the people of the one vehicle. And just to reiterate, if they're able to complete the meditation based on the Lotus Sutra, what is that? Myoho Renge Kyo. Chanting Namu Myoho Renge Kyo to this mandala of the Gohanzon is the practice of meditation on the Lotus Sutra. It is your enlightenment. The phrase practice of gradual progress that appears in this commentary by Nanhui has been interpreted by the scholars of our time to refer to the specific teaching. In fact, however, it refers to the way of expedient means as opposed to the way of the Lotus Sutra, which is, let's see what he means by this, which is endowed simultaneously with causes and results. Hence, the term practice of gradual progress includes the perfect teaching preached before the Lotus Sutra, the various Mahayana sutras preached before the Lotus Sutra, and the Mahayana and Hinayana sutras that belong to the sudden and gradual teachings. As proof, we may cite the following passage in the Immeasurable Meaning Sutra, quote, then I preached the 12 divisions of the correct and equal sutras, the teaching of the great wisdom, and the flower garland teaching of the ocean imprint meditation, describing the many kalpas of practice for bodhisattvas. End quote. But the bodhisattvas of superior capacity honestly discard expedient means and do not carry out the practice of gradual progress. They practice the Lotus Sutra, and when they attain its truth, they simultaneously acquire all manner of fortunate results. Persons such as these are called the people of the one vehicle. When we consider the meaning of these various passages, we understand that none of the ordinary people and sages of the three vehicles and the five vehicles, the seven expedient means, the nine worlds, or the four flavors and the three teachings can be called Mahayana followers who are entities of Myoho Renge Kyo. Though they are Buddhas in these teachings, there are Buddhas in these teachings, they are Buddhas of the provisional teachings and cannot be called Buddhas in the true sense. This is because the Buddhas of the provisional teachings in their three bodies have not yet freed themselves from impermanence. How then could beings in realms other than Buddhahood be called entities of Myoho Renge Kyo? That is why it is said that a person of humble station born in the latter day of the law is more worthy of respect than the kings and high ministers who lived during the 2,000 years of the former and middle days. Nanhui says in his commentary, quote, all living beings have within themselves the storehouse of the Dharma body, and therefore they are in no way different from the Buddha. End quote. That is why the Lotus Sutra says, quote, the pure and ordinary ears, eyes, nose, tongue, body, and mind that one received at birth from one's father and mother are also like this. Nanhui also writes, quote, question, In what sutra does the Buddha explain the eyes and the other sense organs and designate them by the name Thus Come One? Answer. The Great Diligence Sutra says ordinary beings and the Thus Come One share a single Dharma body. Being pure and wonderful and difficult to understand beyond comparison, it is called Myoho Renge Kyo. This comes from a sutra other than the Lotus, but since the Lotus later clarified the same point, it is all right to quote it here. If we take up the word share that is used in this passage of the Great Diligence Sutra and apply it in our argument, we may say that those who share in and believe in the Lotus Sutra are entities of that wonderful and difficult to understand sutra, but those who do not share it in it, such as the Nembutsu believers, are not entities of the wonderful and difficult to understand sutra because they have already turned their backs on their Buddha nature. That is, the Thus Come One of the Dharma body. In essence, the entity of Myoho Renge Kyo is the physical body that the disciples and followers of Nichiren who believe in the Lotus Sutra received from their fathers and mothers at birth. Such persons who honestly discard expedient means, but put resolute mind and conviction in the Lotus Sutra alone, and chant Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, will transform the three paths of earthly desires, karma, and suffering into the three virtues of the Dharma body, wisdom, and emancipation. The threefold contemplation and the three truths will immediately become manifest in their minds, and the place where they live will become the land of eternal tranquil light. The Buddha, who is the entity of Myoho Renge Kyo, of the lifespan chapter of the essential teaching, who is both inhabiting subject and inhabited realm, the life and environment, body and mind, entity and function, the Buddha eternally endowed with the three bodies, he is to be found in the disciples and lay believers of Nichiren. Such persons embody the true nature or entity of Myoho Renge Kyo. This is all due to the meritorious workings that the spontaneous transcendental powers inherent in it display. Could anyone venture to doubt it? Indeed, it cannot be doubted. Question. The great teacher Tendai has explained that the term Myoho Renge Kyo is used in two different senses. One meaning the entity of Myoho Renge Kyo, or Myoho Renge, and the other being figurative in meaning. What are these two kinds of Renge, or lotus? Answer. The figurative Renge, or lotus, is explained and detailed in the three metaphors of the lotus blossom enfolding the seed, the lotus blossom opening to reveal the seed inside, and the lotus blossom falling and the seed ripening. So one should refer to them. The lotus that is the entity of Myoho Renge Kyo, or Myoho Renge, is explained in the seventh volume of the Profound Meaning of the Lotus Sutra as follows, quote, Renge, or lotus, is not a symbol. It is the actual name of the entity. For example, at the beginning of the Kalpa of continuance, the various things in the world had no names. The sage observed the principles that governed them, and on that basis made up names for them. He also writes, now the name Renge is not intended as a symbol for anything. It is the teaching expounded in the Lotus Sutra. The teaching expounded in the Lotus Sutra is pure and undefiled and explains the subtleties of cause and effect. Therefore, it is called Renge, or lotus. This name designates the true entity, page-turning karma. Wow, look at this. Oh my. Okay. This name designates the true entity that the meditation based on the Lotus Sutra reveals, and it is not a metaphor or figurative term. The great teacher Tendai also writes, quote, question, does the term Renge in fact mean the Renge, or lotus, that is the essence of the meditation based on the Lotus Sutra, or does it in fact mean the ordinary lotus, that is a species of plant? Answer, it in fact refers to the lotus that is the essence of the Lotus Sutra. But because the essence of the Lotus Sutra is difficult to understand, the metaphor of the lotus plant is introduced. People of sharp faculties will hear the name and immediately grasp the principle. They have no need to rely upon a metaphor, but can understand the Lotus Sutra directly. But people of intermediate or inferior perception will not understand it immediately. Only through the medium of a metaphor will they be able to understand. Thus, the easily understood metaphor of an actual lotus plant is used to make clear the difficult to understand lotus that is the essence of the Lotus Sutra. Thus, in the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha employed three cycles of preaching in accordance with the respective understanding of those of superior, intermediate, or inferior capacity. For people of superior capacity, the Renge, or lotus, that is the name of the law, was taught. But for people of intermediate or inferior capacity, the lotus was used as a metaphor or symbol. As long as one understands that the word is being used both as a name for the law itself and as a metaphor, depending upon which of the three groups of people is being addressed, then there should be no reason to argue over it. This passage, well, so I'm going to interject here. This is exactly what I was explaining earlier and in part one, entity, especially in part one. If you haven't watched that yet, you really should, because there's a lot of introductory rhetoric there that will help you understand. But there is the thing and there is the entity, and the thing is a result of the entity, not the entity. So the teaching of the Lotus Sutra is about the one vehicle, the one vehicle being no separation between mind, Buddha, and everything, so that your perceptive, and the word perception was used here again, your perceptive shift is to live in other words, to keep your perceptive reality in the idea that all is this entity of Buddhahood. The minute your mind starts to make distinctions amongst things is where you could say the trouble begins. This is where the lack of understanding begins, or ignorance begins. And this is where pain starts to be introduced, emotions start to be introduced, attachments start to be introduced because of distinctions. So this is what he's talking about, is that Renge, if you look it up on the line, you'll get tons of little stories about the lotus flower and the way it seeds at the same time as it blossoms and all of that. And those are all helpful, expedient means. They're stories, they're analogies, they're ways to help you understand. But when you understand that Renge is an entity, a fundamental of the life process, then you don't think about the flower anymore. You think about the entity of Renge, the entity of transformation, of formations from this entity, Myoho Renge Kyo, this engine of reality, this engine of life itself, the process of life. Words fail me. But I'm hoping that you're beginning to take this apart for yourself, for your own insights, okay? This passage of commentary means that the supreme principle, that is the wonderful and difficult to understand law, was originally without a name. Because name is part of nidana. Naming something is part of distinctions, isn't it? So if you think that what we're doing when we're chanting is shouting out names of things, you're missing it. We're invoking an entity. That entity is Buddhahood. That Buddhahood is ours to experience. When the sage was observing the principle and assigning names to all things, he perceived that there is a wonderful single law, myoho, that simultaneously possesses both cause and effect, renge, and he named it myoho renge. The single law that is myoho renge encompasses within it all the phenomena comprising the 10 worlds and the 3,000 realms, and is lacking in none of them. Anyone who practices this law will obtain both the cause and effect of Buddhahood simultaneously. The sage practiced with this law as his teacher and attained enlightenment, and therefore he simultaneously obtained both the wonderful and difficult to understand cause and the wonderful and difficult to understand effect of Buddhahood, becoming the thus come one of perfect enlightenment and fully realized virtues. Thus the great teacher Dengyo writes, quote, "A single mind, the entity of Myoho Renge, simultaneously brings to maturity both the blossom of cause and the calyx of effect. The three cycles of preaching that the Buddha employed each contain both the lotus that is the entity and the lotus that is a metaphor. The Lotus Sutra as a whole consists of both entity and metaphor. In particular, we may note the 7 parables, the 3 equalities, and the 10 peerlessnesses, which each contain the lotus of the entity. And the teaching that fully sets forth this principle is called Myoho Renge Kyo, the Lotus Sutra of the Wonderful Law. The great teacher Myalo says, quote, "When interpreting the 7 parables, one should understand the renge, or lotus, in each of them in terms of the doctrine of the provisional and true teachings. Why? Because these lotuses are no more than metaphors for the fact that the provisional teachings were set forth for the sake of the true teaching, and that the provisional teachings are opened in order to reveal the true teaching. All the 7 parables are to be understood in this way." Now, if you're a beginner or even intermediate, you may want to go look into these 7 parables. I advise you to do so, because these paragraphs here will make more sense. When you read through those, you'll see that they aren't completely an end in themselves, but that they point to an end, or not an end, but a one vehicle, the lotus. In the beginning of the Kalpa of Continuance, a plant existed. The sage observed its principle and gave it the name Renge, or lotus. The lotus plant resembles the principle of Myoho Renge in that it simultaneously contains both cause, blossom, and effect, seed. Hence the plant came to bear the same name as the principle. The lotus that grows in water is the lotus that is a plant, such as the pink variety or the white variety. When we speak of the figurative lotus, or the lotus that is a metaphor, it is this lotus plant we mean. This lotus plant is used to help clarify the difficult concept of Myoho Renge. That is what the great teacher Tendai means when he says that though or through the use of this metaphor, the difficult to understand wonderful and difficult to understand law is rendered more comprehensible. Question. Since the beginning of the Kalpa of Continuance, has anyone become enlightened to the lotus that is the entity of the wonderful and difficult to understand law? Answer. Shakyamuni Buddha became enlightened to this lotus that is the entity of the wonderful and difficult to understand law numberless major world system dust particle kalpas in the past, and in age after age and lifetime after lifetime declared that he had attained the way and revealed the fundamental principle he had realized with his enlightened wisdom. refer to my video on time to understand that more deeply. In our present world as well, he appeared in the kingdom of Magadha in central India, intending to reveal this lotus of the wonderful and difficult to understand law, but the people lacked the proper capacity, and the time was not right. Therefore, he drew distinctions regarding this lotus of the single law, and expounded it as three kinds of flowers, delivering to the people the provisional teachings of the three vehicles. For over 50 years, he guided and led them with these temporary teachings according to their capacities. During this period, because of the capacities of the people he addressed were so varied, he bestowed upon them the various flowers and plants of the provisional teachings, but he never spoke of Myoho Renge. That is why, in the Immeasurable Meaning Sutra, the Buddha said, quote, "In the past, I sat upright in the place of meditation for 6 years under the Bodhi tree and was able to gain supreme perfect enlightenment, but in these more than 40 years, I have not yet revealed the truth," end quote. But when he preached the Lotus Sutra, he cast aside the various plants and flowers of the Hinayana doctrines and the provisional Mahayana teachings, which correspond to the expedient means of the four flavors and the three teachings, and explained the unique doctrine of Myoho Renge. When he opened the three figurative lotuses to reveal the single lotus of Myoho Renge, the people of the provisional teachings with their four flavors and three teachings were able to gain the lotus of the first of the 10 stages of security. Not until he revealed the lotus of, quote, "opening the near and revealing the distant," end quote, were they able to obtain the lotus of the highest result, advancing to the second stage of security, the third stage of security, the 10th stage, the stage of near perfect enlightenment, and finally, the highest stage of perfect enlightenment. Quote, or question, exactly which passages in which chapters of the Lotus Sutra expounded the lotus that is the entity of wonderful and difficult to understand law, and which ones expounded the lotus that is a metaphor? Answer, if we speak in terms of the three groups of voice hearers, then we would say that the whole of the expedient means chapter expounds the lotus that is the entity, while the simile and parable chapter and the parable of the phantom city chapters expound the lotus that is a metaphor. However, it cannot be said that explanations of the lotus as a metaphor are entirely lacking in the expedient means chapter, nor can it be said that the other chapters are without explanation of the lotus as the entity. Question. In other words, the Lotus Sutra as a whole moves through some essential or some provisional teachings of its own, not in the group of all provisional teachings, and that as we move to the Lotus or the Lifespan chapter in the second half of the Lotus Sutra, is when we dig in firmly into the entity, the Myoho Renge Kyo, the mind Buddha and all, as the essential teaching. But in its entirety, the Lotus Sutra, even in its provisional chapters, dances with the ultimate revelation, right? And even after the ultimate revelation indicated in the Lifespan chapter, still more discussion is had, because a lot of the Lotus Sutra is about how to do this method. Not only is this the actual fact, but this is how to inculcate that actual fact. In other words, how to properly practice bodhisattva practice in order to realize this perfect teaching, right? So this is why Nichiren is pointing out that you can't just say this chapter works this way and this chapter works this way. They work in conjunction. So, question. If so, then what passage contains the full elucidation of the entity? Let's nail this down, right? Answer. The passage in the Expedient Means chapter that deals with the true aspect of all phenomena. Question. How do we know that this passage deals with the lotus that is the entity? Answer. Because Tendai and Miaolo quote this passage when they explain the essence of the Lotus Sutra. And the great teacher Dengyo in his commentary also writes, question, what is the essence of the Lotus Sutra? Answer, its essence is the true aspect of all phenomena. This passage of commentary clarifies the matter. Scholars of the time kept this commentary secret and did not reveal the name of the entity, but the passage is clearly referring to Myoho Renge in the true aspect of all phenomena. Furthermore, actual evidence of the entity is to be found in the examples of the three kinds of Buddhas described in the Treasure Tower chapter, the Bodhisattvas who appeared from the earth, and the Dragon King's daughter who attained Buddhahood in her present form. The Bodhisattvas of the earth offer actual evidence because, as a passage of the Lotus Sutra says, quote, they are unsoiled by worldly things, like the lotus flower in the water. Thus, we learn of the true entity of these Bodhisattvas. And the Dragon King's daughter offers actual evidence because she has made her appearance at the gathering at Eagle Peak, seated on a 1,000-petaled lotus blossom, big as a carriage wheel, end quote. Moreover, the 34 manifestations of Bodhisattva Wonderful Sound and the 33 manifestations of Bodhisattva Perceiver of the World Sounds constitute further evidence for, and these are chapters of the Lotus Sutra, for as the commentary says, quote, if he had not gained the mysterious power of perfect freedom of action through the meditation based on the Lotus Sutra, then how could he manifest these 33 different forms? End quote. In addition, there is the sutra passage that states, quote, the characteristics of the world are constantly abiding, end quote. All these passages are documentary proofs cited by the scholars of our time. Personally, however, I prefer to cite the passage in the Expedient Means chapter on the true aspect of all phenomena, and the passage in the Supernatural Powers chapter that referred to, quote, all the doctrines possessed by the Thus Come One, end quote. This last passage is also cited by the great teacher Tendai in his commentary explaining the five major principles of the Lotus Sutra. Therefore, I feel that this passage is in particular, can be cited as certain proof of the entity of the wonderful and difficult to understand law. So where are we now? We'll go a little further. One more question. The documentary proofs and actual proofs that you have cited above are particularly compelling. But why do you place such emphasis upon this one passage from the Supernatural chapter, end quote, Supernatural Powers chapter, quote, answer, this passage is profoundly significant, and that is why it is particularly pertinent. What is profound and significant, the question. Answer, in this passage, Shakyamuni Buddha explains that he is entrusting the five characters of Myoho Renge Kyo, which is the essence of the Lotus Sutra, to the Bodhisattvas of the earth, his original disciples. The Thus Come One Shakyamuni, who attained enlightenment countless kalpas in the past, says elsewhere, quote, what I long ago hoped for has now been fulfilled. I have converted all living beings and caused them all to enter the Buddha way, end quote. Thus he has already fulfilled his earlier vow. Then, intending to charge his disciples with the task of accomplishing widespread propagation in the last 500-year period after his passing, he called forth the Bodhisattvas of the earth and entrusted them with the heart of the sutra, the lotus of the entity of the essential teaching. This passage represents the ultimate purpose for which Shakyamuni Buddha appeared in the world, the secret law that he attained in the place of meditation. It is this passage that gives proof to the lotus of the entity that for those of us who live in the latter day of the law, assures the attainment of Buddhahood in both the present and future. Accordingly, at the present time in the latter day of the law, other than the envoy of the Duskam One, there can be no one who understands the produces this passage as proof of the lotus of the entity. Truly, it is a passage of secret meaning. Truly, it is a matter of great concern. Truly, it is to be honored and admired. Namu myoho renge kyo. Namu myoho renge kyo. This is what is meant by the statement in the Lotus Sutra that the bodhisattvas of the perfect teaching preached before the sutra have assembled in a multitude of 80,000 wishing to hear the teaching of perfect endowment. Question. Concerning the doctrines of our school. When persons of other schools come and want to know what passages give proof of the lotus of entity, what passages from the Lotus Sutra should be cited? Answer. You should point to the title, Myoho Renge Kyo, that appears at the very beginning of each of the 28 chapters of the Lotus Sutra. Question. But how do we know that the title, Myoho Renge Kyo, appearing in each chapter, is the lotus of the entity of the wonderful and difficult to understand law? I ask this because when the teacher Tendai explained the title of the Lotus Sutra, he interpreted the lotus as a metaphor, so that we would have to say that this is the lotus that is a metaphor, would we not? Now remember, this is a letter he's writing to Saiden Bo, the Tendai educated monk who's converted. So Nichiren is making sure to cover all these areas where there might be some confusion. Answer. The renge, or lotus, in the title of the sutra is explained as both entity and metaphor. In the interpretation you have just referred to, Tendai is explaining the lotus as a metaphor. This is what he does in the first volume of Profound Meaning, where he discusses the six metaphors of the theoretical and essential teachings. But in the seventh volume of the same work, he interprets the lotus as the entity of the wonderful and difficult to understand law. Thus, Tendai's doctrine is flawless in that it reveals both interpretations, explaining the lotus in the title of the sutra as both entity and metaphor. Yeah, this has gone on for a while. All right, so that's a lot to chew on. But I hope you'll realize that it's kind of that exhaustive proof method of Buddhism we often run across, where the same question and answer is repeated from different points of view with differing doctrinal references and so forth. So really just repeating the same thing over and over again. But my voice is starting to get tired, and we've gone on for a good while here. So I'm going to call that the end of part two, and we'll get into part three in the next one. Once again, deep appreciation for your participation. I hope you're getting as much out of this as possible. Rewatch it, re-listen to it on a podcast. As I've said before, I transcribe these into my podcasts available all over the place. The Buddhahood Podcast. That's the complete name of the podcast. The Buddhahood Podcast. And I hope that's helpful for you. Otherwise, watch these videos. And play them while you do cooking in the kitchen or whatever, anything to help you practice. If anything does arise as I go through these, don't forget to take little notes so that you can go in the comments later if you were unresolved about something or have a question about something, because that will give me fodder for other videos outside the series of Gosho, as just general questions I can answer in my walking meditations format, which are informative for everyone, beginner, intermediate, or advanced. So anyway, thank you again for watching. Can't wait to see you in the next one. Namo myoho renge kyo. Take care of your health.